righteous. He has no reason to be anything else. He works contrary to anything of God, but often in a fashion that's deceptive, that's sneaky, and it's always enticing. If he can get you to eat the beautiful poison apple, he will. If he can blast you with his fiery darts of doubt, distress, pain, grief, misery, then he will. His cruelty is unmatched, his cunning is unequal, and his deceit is unrivaled. You are in the midst of a spiritual conflict. Satan is working against you. And as Christians, we blind ourselves to it. Ephesians, you see there in chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We look at the news and we can't believe the things that we see. Can you believe what the government is doing? Can you believe what is happening overseas? Can you believe what kinds of things happen here in Omaha? I mentioned before when we were in Detroit area, we lived south of Detroit. We lived in a place called Southgate, and we were not in Detroit. So we were not part of the violence and things that really happened there, but close enough to it to watch the news. And when you watch the news, you watch to find out who was killed yesterday. Today, here in Omaha, it's not quite as bad, but you would agree with me. It seems like it's growing closer and closer to it. We don't wrestle against those people. What's the problem with those people is sin, Satan, selfishness. The same sorts of things that causes us to not be the believers we ought to be. Our own sin and selfishness, Satan himself working around us, tempting us, guiding us, enticing us. As a Christian, we are in spiritual warfare, and what we must do is recognize that we have to rely on God. 1 John 4:4 is correct. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But we fail to open our eyes to it. So I've been doing this study and sharing with you the study on spiritual conflict. I've been reminded and my spiritual ears perked up to the fact of what is the devil doing in my life? Whether he himself or his demons or whatever. How is he enticing me? What is he doing to hinder God's work? What is he doing to cause me to not grow the way I should in Christ? Have you considered that for yourself? See, our battle is not against what's going on out there. The battle is a spiritual battle that's happening hour by hour in your life. Not against some idea or personification of evil, but of a real personal being, Satan and demons. Remember when out in the field, Elijah looked like trouble for him. There's no hope for him. He told his servant, don't worry, because greater is those on our side than on their side. The servant's thinking, 100, 200, 300, 400. What is he talking about? And Elijah prays, and his eyes are opened up. The servant's eyes are opened up, and he saw it camped all the way around them, the invisible army. We are in a spiritual battle. We don't fight with weapons of warfare. They're not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Last week we looked at the instruments that God has provided for us in warfare. If you are called up to go to battle for some reason, a draft were to be proclaimed, and it didn't matter how old you were, if you're a guy or a gal, or if you're 5 years old or 500 years old, I don't think anybody quite meets that here, you had to go out there to battle. Would you just say, okay, and go like you are? No, you'd want the flak jacket, right? You'd want that helmet that might help protect you when there's explosions and stuff. You'd want training to know how to handle the situations. You'd want that, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to go out to battle with nothing. Why would you do that? The only reason you do that is to surrender yourself or to be shot and killed. You don't want to be shot and killed, do you? Then why do we go out into battle spiritually without armor? We looked at the armor of God, these not being actual pieces you put on, but look at the Christian characteristics that we need to have to fight spiritually. He talks about the belt of truth. Gird your waist with truth in verse 14. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the bulletproof vest, if you will. The breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet prepared. Shoes on your feet with the gospel. The gospel of peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Today we look at the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. What is it that Satan so quickly causes us to do? Doubt. Have you thought about that? Do you ever doubt God? Here's a question. Have you ever worried? Then you doubt God. If you worry, you doubt God. We worry about our kids, don't we? Now, we are wise with our kids as well. But we worry so that way when they play outside, we can see them and know right where they're at. Why? Because somebody might come along and take them home. So it's a very real threat. And so we keep our kids are outside. They stay together. And we make sure that we know where they're at. We keep an eye on them. We don't necessarily sit there and stare at them the whole time. A lot of times we're out playing with them. We don't necessarily sit there and stare at them the whole time. But we look out often. Why? Because we want to know where they're at. We want to help protect them. We trust God. But if we get worried and anxious, to the degree that we say, no, we can't play outside, or you know, we always got to be with them, and or whatnot. There can be a point where your worry comes doubt in what God is doing. Think about the things that we doubt God for. It causes pride when we doubt God, because we become self-sufficient and self-reliant, and we don't trust God anymore. We doubt His promises, we doubt His blessings, and we put all of our trust in ourselves. We consider what we can do rather than what God can do. We let our pride prevent us from seeking help from anyone, even God. It keeps us from declaring that we are pride keeps us declaring that we are very spiritual. Because we're not as ungodly as all these other people or as other Christians that we know. Pride is very common and deceptive. Now, when we doubt what God says about us, when we doubt in God's ability, we allow that pride to build up. Or that doubt to cause us to worry. That doubt which says, well, I don't know if God's really going to meet all my needs, so I worry about it. Or the health of myself or others. Or we look and say, how can God provide for this or that? We doubt in God's abilities. God tells us that we need to spend time in His Word so we can grow in Him. But we doubt that truth. Why do I say that? Because we neglect God's Word and prayer. You see here the shield of faith? Our absolute trust must be in God. When we put our faith in something other than God, it will fail one way or another. We could put our faith into the vehicle. We are discovering that when we purchased a battery for our van, we purchased a battery that I need to take down perhaps tomorrow and say we'd like our money back. Because it doesn't hold the charge like it should. Here I went down to Walmart and I bought myself a battery. Now I didn't buy the cheapest battery, but I'm still cheap, so figure it out. So I got that put in about a year ago. And we've seen consistently that I knew that battery would be a good battery because I didn't buy the cheapest battery. But I'm still cheap. So I had all my trust in that battery. You know what I'm finding out? That was a bad battery. I should not trust that battery. In fact, the other day we went out, and it's a good thing we had two vehicles with us. Jumped it, and it shot right off. But my trust in that battery is gone. So if you still see the van here Wednesday, you'll know. My trust is misplaced. We can trust in the government and what the government can do for us. I think we've seen enough that it fails over and over. There are some very helpful things the government does do. But if you put your trust in a single person or a single play, or whatever it might be, eventually it will fail. The only place we can truly put our trust is in God. When we're battling spiritual warfare, when we are dealing with temptation in our life, and we say to ourselves, well, I'm pretty strong, so I can resist its temptation. Guess what we often find out? We're not that strong. In Galatians chapter 6, he says, those who are weak, to restore those that have fallen, that have sinned. But need to be careful lest we also fall in the same temptations. Why? Because when we think we're strong, who are we relying on? Us, not on God. If you think you can rely on yourself, you just go a couple days here and see how you do without God. You'll find yourself fail over and over again. You'll make bad decisions when you don't seek His counsel. You'll make unwise choices concerning your personal life that will result in either immediate or later consequences. You'll see that your life is not blessed the way that you would like to see it blessed. Here he talks about faith. Our faith must be in God. We must trust God because Satan is out there shooting his arrows. The temptation, the pain, the misery. He's shooting, he's putting out there beautiful apples. I like the green apples. The Granny Smith apples, the sour ones. And I don't think a lot of people like those, but I like them, especially when you've had them in the fridge, so they're cool. And then they're real juicy, and you bite into it, and you can just feel on your tongue how it all tightens up your tongue there. Boy, it's delicious. My wife doesn't like that at all. He's got that apple right there, just so enticing for you. Look how much fun this will be. Nobody will get hurt. This won't hurt you at all. It's no big deal. And before we know it, we fall into some sort of sin that we've edged closer and closer to because we fail to recognize that we need to put our trust in God and His wisdom in seeing these things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Our Christian life ought to be consistently with our trust in Christ. Not in ourselves, but in Christ. Not only here do we see that we have the shield of faith, but verse 17, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And looking at the text here, I thought, well, a helmet of salvation, that being saved, what does Paul really mean here? What is he trying to get a point here? I think we find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, where he talks about the helmet of salvation there. And he says, "But let us who are of the day, that is believers, be sober, be right-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, a helmet of hope of salvation." He's talking there not of, well, I hope I'm saved, one day I'm going to die. Did you know that? Did you know that one day you are going to die? Just think about that for a minute. On one hand, you might get all excited to go home and see Jesus, if you know Christ as your Savior. On the other hand, you might say to yourself, but I don't have that red Corvette yet I'd like to have. Whatever your mentality might be, the truth is, not one of us is guaranteed another day. We can go out here on our way to lunch, get hit by another vehicle, and that's it. You're gone. By the time the paramedics show up, you're out of there. The only thing left there is your body, broken and bleeding. We have a salvation, a help of salvation in which we are anticipating and excited about the fact that one day we'll go to heaven. Consider that. Now, how does that help you in warfare? How does that help you in spiritual warfare? You know, I get very frustrated at times. I'm sure you do too. Some days it seems like the temptation is just bombarded from the left and right. Like, that day, Satan had looked on his calendar and said, okay, it's Pastor Rittmiller's turn today. And so they bring triple army to fight you. And so whereas the temptations that you have, or the attitude that you get, or the way that you handle what's going on in your life, it just seems like God, that Satan is just pounding and pounding. You hate those days when those days happen. Sometimes you have a lot of days that way. How does the hope of salvation help? This is temporary. This isn't going to last long. They could last the rest of my life. It's not going to last long. Do you know how long my life is in the span of eternity? It's not even that big. We consider all that is happening in our lives and the destructive nature of what Satan wants to do. And we can look and say, wait a minute, I know this is not all that there is. I have a great hope of heaven. I know that when I look around in the world and I see what's happening and the fact of the government or just society in general or here in our local Omaha or around the world and all you hear is death and defeat and destruction. That's enough to get a guy down, isn't it? You know how to get a football team to lose? You get them down on themselves. You defeat them psychologically. If you can pound, if you can get the first score and you can get it right away, you tell the other team, oh, we're going to run all over you. And the other team, if they're not careful, they're going to say, oh man, this is going to be a long game. Isn't that how you do that? You want to get the upper hand, not just physically, but psychologically as well. And Satan, he'll do what he can to defeat you mentally. But your hope is in God. Consider that. Your hope, no matter what is happening, you go to the doctor tomorrow, he says you've got stage 4 cancer, you've got 1 week to live. Make preparations. If he does that, what are you going to do for the next week? Are you going to make the most miserable week of your life? Where is your hope? Have you given up and say, well, there's nothing to do? Or you say, well, by the grace of God, if there's something medically that he might use to bring health and restoration. Satan wants to defeat you that way, so you put on the hope of in your life. So that way, when warfare is happening, you know who has the victory. Not you. God does. God does. And because God has the victory, and you are his child, having trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, who has the victory? You do as well. We have hope for eternity. We have hope in this present age because God is giving us victory over temptation and sin. Finally, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if you give a kid a gun for the first time, and they look at that gun, and they're checking it out, where is one of the places they're going to look? Right down the barrel, right? Whenever do you look right down the barrel of a gun? Never. Even if it's unloaded, just in case it is loaded. Why? That's a good way to get a facelift. If you're holding the gun and it is accidentally loaded and it goes off, guess what's going to happen? That kid, you put in his hand, you tell him to point and to shoot it, probably they could do, you would never do that, would you? That doesn't make sense. They have not been taught. They have not developed any skills. As a believer, of how many years now are you? Those of you that have put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. That is, you understand that Christ died for your sins and paid that full penalty and came back to life. So that way you, if you put your trust in what he has done on your behalf, you can have God's gift of eternal life. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your trust in him. You are a believer and a person who's saved. If you've been saved and God's child, God has given to you not only revealed his gospel, but the things he wants you to do to live for him. At that point, when he did that, how long ago was it? Was it 5 years ago? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? We don't have any guns at our place, at least not yet. They're fascinating. I'm intrigued by them. I think they're fun. I've shot a rifle a couple of times, but we don't have any at our home. I imagine if I were to go down tomorrow and purchase a handgun or a rifle, and if I were to over the next 2 years even, spend time learning about it and using it and practicing it, I might be an okay shot. I would know how to handle my weapon. Handle it with the respect that's required. Able to handle it with the necessity that might be needed. Wouldn't you think in 2 years you could be, I don't know, a pretty good amateur if not an expert? Doesn't that make sense? How good are you at your sword? You've been saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I don't know if we can fit anybody in a 50. Yeah, we could fit somebody 50 years maybe. Could you imagine if you were a person who received a weapon that you were to use, even on a daily basis, and after 20 years, you still fumbled it around? The Word of God is such that we should have a good handle in using it. In Psalm 119, verse 11, your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are you memorizing God's Word? Are you studying God's Word? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of truth. You see, God's Word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When Peter was out there and he was preaching after Pentecost, after the Spirit came down, the Holy Spirit came down. And when the Holy Spirit came down and he was telling the people, this is what's going on. This is the description in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They heard this, they were cut to the heart. God's Word has an effect on the soul. They asked, what should we do then? And he said, repent. Let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Stephen, when he was making his stand, as he proclaimed the gospel, and those religious leaders did not like it at all. So they brought him before him, and he recounted how all this had come about, setting up for Jesus Christ. They heard this. They were cut to the heart. They heard these things. They were cut to the heart, gnashed at him with their teeth. Why? Because the Word of God is piercing. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua was told, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then your way will be prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Do you see here that God has equipped you with equipment to fight the spiritual battle? The spiritual battle that sadly as Christians, what we do is we know what we have to do. Tomorrow I have to wake up. Tomorrow I have to have breakfast. Tomorrow I have to get dressed. Probably better get dressed before I go have breakfast. Scare the kids. After I do that, I will come to church, Lord willing, and I will spend time looking at His Word and praying. I'll spend time in preparation for the things going on. Lord willing, as the opportunity arises, I'll minister to people as they make calls and as I need to go out and make visits with people. Then tomorrow night, guess what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to have something to eat. That's one of my favorite times of the day. Then I'll sit with my family. We'll probably play a game or something. When Xander's got hockey, he'll tell me about his adventure of hockey. I think maybe I'd take him tomorrow. I think I'd take him tomorrow. And that'll all be fun. And then after that, the kids will go to bed, and Don and I will have some time to ourselves, and we'll maybe watch something on TV or just talk or whatever we do. And after that, I'll go to bed. Do you recall me mentioning the spiritual wealth warfare going on? You see how I did my whole day and didn't talk about the warfare that's so prevalent? That's what we tend to do as believers. We forget there's a battle going on. God has equipped us, and we must build into ourselves, by the power of God, the truthfulness that comes out of our mouth. God's truth. When we speak truth. We speak it discerningly and graciously. Not only with truth, but righteousness, building character of righteousness in my life. No, I'm not perfect. I've got you fooled. You'd think I'm perfect. At least that's what I try to communicate to you. But I'm far from perfect. Don't ask my wife. She'll agree. I have that righteous. I need to build a character of Christ's righteousness. God, save me. Conform me to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I need to have on my feet the stability of the peace of the gospel so I'm not moved by the dangers and the trouble that's around me. And I need to be using my feet to deliver the good news. I need to make sure that above all this, I've got the shield of faith. Trusting God. I can't trust in myself. I must have my full allegiance and trust in God to help me through it all. Not only in the faith, by faith, but that hope of salvation. Not that I'm hoping to be saved, but because I'm saved, I have the great anticipation, excitement of going to be with the Father one day. Not only that, what salvation does, it's freed me from sin. And so I put my hope in God's deliverance that way. Finally, we see the Word of God. I need to master, skillfully use God's Word. And one of the things I appreciate about Awana, I love when it's Awana time because it forces me to say, to memorize Scripture. So that way I can beat Xander through the book. It forces me to do that. And then I have to make sure I know it because the books are really good at making sure that you know it. Because they'll ask you 3 or 4 times what that verse says. Why? What is it that God's Word has an effect that changes the soul? I want to encourage you today that you see these different pieces of armor that God has provided. And that as you see those, you will recognize the spiritual battle that's really happening. Our brother Chip here, he's missionary down over in Utah. I bet you've seen real spiritual battle over there. We're too comfortable here. Seriously, we are. It's going on, and it's against the world and Satan and the evil there. But you don't see it from a religious standpoint, and so you blow it off. You're in severe danger if you're not being alert. If you're not watchful and alert. Because the devil is the roaring lion seeking every opportunity without mercy to devour you. We must go to the Lord in prayer in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. Pray for one another. And for me, he says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador and you are an ambassador. He enchains you not, that I may speak it as I ought to speak. We need to make sure that we recognize the spiritual battle that is happening around us, not dismiss it, but be involved in it, preparing ourselves before the Lord in prayer and building these characteristics in our life that we might, as we go to battle, that we might see victory in our own life, that as we go and share this victory with others, they may have victory by the encouragement of what God is doing in your life and what He can do in their life. And then as we go and share Christ with others, that they may see the same victory as well. Won't be long. Won't be long, and Satan will be crushed. He was crushed at the cross, and he will be judged on that last day. But before then, he's going to fight you tooth and nail. He's not going to have any mercy. Just like the Huskers didn't give up 4 seconds left of the game. And they threw that ball. And I think it was a whole lot of prayers all across the state, even the nation. They didn't give up. They're going to go die to the end. That's the way our attitudes should be in the spiritual battle. Father, I ask that you would help us recognize again the spiritual battles that are around us. That you would help us that as we recognize the spiritual battle, that we will be diligent to build into us, to our lives, these things that you've asked, that you have provided for us. The truth, your truth, and the truth that we need to speak in, when communicating to one another, holding that integrity that you have called us to, even as the integrity of your Son who only spoke truth. That truth is founded in your word. So may we be diligent to be faithful to it and to devour it. Lord, I ask that you would give us the breastplate of righteousness as we build into our lives the characteristic of resisting temptation and casting out sin from our life, that we might live righteously for you. You've given us the righteousness of Christ. Help us that we might live righteously as well. I ask that you would help us with a gospel that it will give us the peace that we need amongst the dangers in battle. But Father, that it will also permeate, come from us as we share it with others. Lord, I also ask that you would give us strength. Help us in our faith. We are weak in it. Help us that we might not doubt, and when we doubt your goodness, we fall into sin because we think it's a better way, and I pray that you would help us resist that. Lord, I ask that you would be with us and give us that great hope of salvation, and knowing that one day, because of Christ, we'll be with you, so that the things that are happening now are only temporary, and in it there is victory. Because not only of the salvation that we shall have when we are with you, but the salvation we do have, having victory over sin. Father, I ask that you would help us become skillful with your word. For it is by your word that we heard and understood the gospel, and by which we understood your love for us, that we came and turned our hearts to your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, it is by your word that we see how we ought to live in order to please you. So then, Father, I ask that you would be with each one, that we might take up this armor and go into battle, that spiritual battle, and that we might be diligent to deliver souls from hell as we are your ambassadors, speaking forth the gospel, showing Christ and the victory that you have given. I ask this in Jesus' name.